Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
Today's episode, we have five rounds in the magazine. It's going to be a little bit of Valentine's Day. It's going to be delicious. It's going to be lovely, and you are going to enjoy it because these rounds of the magazine are round number one. This story is totally going to make you cream or scream if you're a taxpayer. Here, our government spent $65 million on tubes of scar cream that did nothing to treat scars. Round number two, daycare at the VA. We need to explore this. Round number three, Sky Soldier Silver Star to be upgraded to a Distinguished Service Cross, which is a great story. Anytime anybody gets the award that they actually deserve, we are 100% behind it. Round number four, Major Kaminsky, enemy lines, and another case of uniform triggering people. Round number five, Kate tells her favorite Marine Corps story about love this Valentine's week, and sadly, it does not involve an off-base strip club, but it does involve somebody who I have a tattoo of on my forearm. Let's get going with the show, which this week, and it's a Valentine's special, my friends. 52% of the men out there, well, they're a little bit flaccid. We're going to get that going with your rock hard Roman shield type boner, the best boner that you could possibly ever imagine. And as a refresher, here's some reason why Roman is awesome. It's a one-stop shop for men's health. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They got their own licensed physicians. They're certified pharmacies all across the country, which means the whole process will, oh, be quick and painless. They take care of everything from online diagnosis to a fast delivery of your FDA-approved medication. With Roman, you get access to licensed physicians with medications like, wait for it, Viagra, or the generic equivalent for as little $2 a dose. To get started, go over to GetRoman.com/zero and complete a brief online survey. Guys, if you're experiencing ED, go online. Get checked by a doctor. I know ED can be tough to talk about, but we got to get it through. To waive Roman's usual online visit fee, go to GetRoman.com/zero and click the link on the description box from our Instagram. It's Valentine's Day. Get in them cheeks with Roman and your own rock hard cock. Cue the music.
So, a former Marine helped recruit service members for a scheme to bilk the DOD out of more than $65 million using tubes of scar cream that did nothing to treat scars. This is all from a remarkable investigation by the Nashville Tennessean. Apparently, two doctors and a nurse at a Tennessee clinic have already pleaded guilty to defrauding TRICARE. A bunch of others are in the mix. And that includes former Marine and Utah-based pharmacy as well, who have admitted their role in the scheme. Basically, this Marine was getting paid for medicine he didn't need. And a Tennessee doctor he never met was writing him cream prescriptions that were filled out by that pharmacy out in Utah. Now, this all sounds confusing. Basically, everybody in the mix was getting big cash kickbacks for this. The wildest part, the medicine, Mederma, supposedly used to treat pain and scars, runs for only about $30 on Amazon. According to the investigation, that Tennessee pharmacy was prescribing the stuff to Marines at $14,500 a tube for the last 4 years, and the stuff barely even works. So basically, Marine Joshua Morgan was targeting Marines around Camp Pendleton. He had the connections to the Utah place, the Tennessee place. He would convince these Marines that they were joining a drug trial for pain and scar creams, and then they get about $300 a month in kickbacks from it. So all the while, it was a loophole in TRICARE. They were able to do this because if you say you're mixing it, so I guess the doctors were like, we're taking the Mederma, but we're mixing it with other stuff too.
Yeah, yeah, like adding some tang to it.
Yeah, they're adding a little tang to it, mixing it up. So that's called a compound medication, and those are fully covered by TRICARE, but they don't need to be proved useful or functioning by the FDA. So In a report, the Major General Richard Thomas, this guy who was involved, he said, we're on track to spend over $2 billion with a B on fraud, on TRICARE fraud like this, like tubes of cream that are just made up and fake unless they get a handle on this. So,
and I'm glad that we're talking about this issue because I want to bump, set, and spike on TRICARE. TRICARE's system is unbelievable. They've been charging us for speech therapy. Everyone in my house speaks fine. They've been sending these sheets saying that we go to speech therapy. No one goes to speech therapy. And they don't even have something that you can call and say that this is wrong. You have to submit it in writing. There's no official form at all. You just write it on like the back of a napkin and send it in. They take the charges off. Other than that, you're fucked and you have to pay. TRICARE is messed up.
Chaps, could you please explain, because I'm assuming most listening do not have any idea what TRICARE is. Could you just give a brief overview of what TRICARE is?
TRICARE is the overarching like medical provider, medical insurer for the military. So if you're in the military or you are retired from the military, you have TRICARE. Like me, I'm retired and it's great insurance. Like overall, like I complain about it some because getting an appointment can be a hassle, but you basically pay $600 and that's all you'll ever have to pay for the year. Like no matter what happens, you're paying $600. You have 8 kids that year, $600. You have, this is terrible to say, but you have like a terrible disease like cancer, you're paying $600. You don't ever pay any more. Mm-hmm. Unless you're going out in town to like an emergency room and shit like that. But that usually doesn't happen anyways. So it's great insurance to have, but it's an incredibly difficult process to work through, especially for people who are young. Like there's a young woman that we know here in San Antonio. She has TRICARE insurance, but her husband was active duty. He passed away. Not like in combat or anything, but he died. And she didn't know because she had only been a military spouse for like 3 months before he passed away. She's covered under TRICARE for life, has no idea how the system works. There's really nobody out there that can help her like navigate through these systems. And it's very, very difficult to learn how to use. So when you have this type of program, it does not surprise me at all that TRICARE just checks in the box. Yes, this is good. Yes, this is good. Because it's like so many other bureaucracy things where once you check the box, you move on. I think that's why the medical system in the military and the VA is fucked up anyways, because it's so paperwork based. It's not about patient care, patients, anything like that. It's just saying, we have dealt with this issue. We are checking in the box. The patient is satisfied. And really, that's all that matters. If like the Lance Corporal that you said, Kate, that was like happy with it, like he's like, oh yeah, it's working great. Good. If the placebo effect works, the mind is powerful. Like, I think that that's fine. And a lot
of that's, I was thinking, I'm like, oh my God, because as it said in the story, this Marine was going to Pendleton and finding other Marines to say, but he was telling them that it was legit, that it was part of a trial. And that's what I wanted to say. Like, what if you're the poor guy who's like, hey, this shit's amazing. And then it's like, oh, right. Wait.
Or you read this in the paper and you're like, oh God, I'm a moron.
Yeah.
This did not work at all.
I mean, and you know, they rationalize it most likely in their heads because of the way TRICARE works. You know, if you're a civilian, you have a insurance card and you have to present your insurance card when you go to get help from a doctor. And when you're in the military, still active duty, you just walk in, give them your military ID, and that's the extent of it. So it's very easy. So for them to charge these Marines $14,500 a tube,
they weren't charging the Marines $14,500 a tube. The pharmacies were charging the DOD that much.
Oh, okay. So
And then the Marines were getting a kickback for saying, yeah.
My point being, the Marines getting the tube of or ointment or whatever, they don't give a shit. They don't see that number. It doesn't bother them. And it doesn't affect their – it's not like if you don't pay your insurance, your premium might go up or something like that. They're not affected in any way by getting recruited to do this.
No, but $2 billion over the course for something like that is a huge issue when you talk about
absolutely
fraud, waste, and abuse across
– Oh, gosh.
TRICARE's – it's run so poorly. Like, it's really run poorly.
Yeah,
no, it's exactly what you said, Chaps. Once somebody comes in once, then that's it. They don't go back and double check and make sure the paperwork's right.
I just love, again, before a $30 tube on Amazon going for $14,500 a tube, and they did it enough that they racked up $65 million in charges. So I'm curious to know, I'll have to look more into the story, but how this Utah and Tennessee pharmacy got linked up and how they found that Marine Joshua, whatever his face is. Joshua going to be in jail for a long time.
He probably had a friend or somebody within the pharmacy that he knew and could.
Yeah. Probably fucking Facebook. I mean, he's across the military Facebook all the time. We're like, do you want to wear a dress? Do you want this candle? Do you want some essential oils? Do you want to get these different leggings? Like, there's constantly schemes. That's a big time scheme market. The military spouse scheme market on Facebook is enormous.
Hey, Marine.
Also,
hey, Marine. You want to try a little cream?
I do. I would try a cream. I would, like, when I got scabies, we've talked about it before. When I got scabies, I went to the doctor and they gave me this cream. I still remember it was white with a blue top with a little spongy thing, like the nozzle where you just hit it down like a cheap soap set. Well, when McCartney got a diaper rash, she got the same exact cream. And this doctor, I think that he didn't believe me that I had scabies. He just gave me ointment to make me feel better when I was like 18. So I was rubbing that stuff over me and I was like, this is working. It's killing those damn bugs inside my skin. It was probably just fucking hand lotion. That's probably all it was.
I'm going to throw up in my mouth.
A little fun fact for you as we wrap up this story, just real quick. If you do have scars or if you have a gash or a cut or something, you worry about that it's going to scar, you go to CVS, Duane Reade, whatever, you get vitamin E gel pills. You just bite into it. You get the gel. You rub the gel on the scab, and vitamin E is a natural medicine against scarring.
Witch Dr. Cons. Never thought I'd
there
see the day.
There you go.
All right, let's move on. Round number two, sticking with our, I guess, medical theme at the beginning of the show. There's daycare at TRICARE now. I think that is great. The VA will soon provide child care for veterans that are undergoing treatment for mental health and other medical issues, a move some lawmakers hope will make it easier for veterans to get help.
I'm going to jump in here and just say, as I was reading this and researching this a little, I felt like a douchebag because I think I get so wrapped up in myself sometimes. It's difficult for me sometimes to make and get to appointments, like probably just because I'm super incompetent. I can't imagine. I've never thought about people who have to do that with a child, let alone if you're really sick or you're really not doing well at having child or children and childcare. Yeah, I can't believe like I never thought of that, but it is like a huge deal.
Yeah, it is. I'm as somebody that's had kids since I was basically fucking 6 years old at this point, it's tough whenever you had this. When I first got out and I had all these different appointments with the VA, like working through that and working out, because I was a stay-at-home dad for a while, like working through who was going to keep my kids or going to pick them up. They'd be like, you have an appointment at 3:00. Like, I can't do that. I have to be back in time to get my kid from school, because we didn't have, when I first got out, we couldn't afford after school care or anything like that. I just would go get them. So you're going through all these different emotions, like I have to meet these appointments. The VA is not timely at all. Like, you can have a 2:00 appointment, you're not getting out of there at 2:30. You're probably not going to get seen till like 3:30. So you're stressing out.
Great
point. Going into a mental health provider and you're thinking, fuck, I'm already stressed out. Are you stressed out because of your post-traumatic stuff? Or are you stressed out because your kids and your family life? Like, I don't know. I'm just fucking
stressed. Or both.
Yeah, so having that, even if it's just for, we'll only keep your kids for 2 hours, that little 2-hour reprieve where you know it's in there is very helpful for somebody going through a lot of issues.
I got to tell you, this just seems like obviously it's a no-brainer, but also too, it doesn't seem like it would be all that hard, because what do you really need to have a child care if you're an adult? Because if you're in the waiting room, okay, you can have your kids and then you go in for your actual appointment. Maybe it's 15, 30, 45 minutes, what have you. All you really needed was a room, maybe a TV, some highlights magazines so they can do the picture.
Highlights, man.
Shout out Goofus and Gallant. That was always my favorite part of the highlights magazines. But right, I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult to make this happen in just about any facility.
I don't want to hear about budgeting. They're spending fucking $2 billion on fucking fake cream.
Right, exactly.
They can afford it.
Well, there's somebody who can sit and watch children.
They've had a pilot program for this since 2011, and they set out a survey that found that 10% of veterans had to cancel or reschedule appointments because they lack childcare, and that sets off a whole chain effect for others too. So the Veterans Access to Child Care Act calls for the VA to provide childcare on site or pay veterans a stipend for the full cost of childcare at licensed facilities.
Oh, wow.
If they get there or whatever. So yeah, that would be,
that's even better. That's even better. And yeah. I'm actually surprised that it's only 10%. I would have thought it'd be even higher actually.
How much daycare do you think you can buy with $65 million?
A lot.
What they need to do is put all the people in the VA, put all their kids into one state and then build a wall around it.
Yep.
Just take it and build a wall around all those kids.
You just take the kids outside, line them up, make them do police calls around the hospital.
Oh, that'd be great.
Keep them busy. Keep them busy.
Yeah, exactly. This is easy.
Motherfuckers a buffer and get to work. Buff the fucking decks. Swab. Those military types at home, swab them decks too. There was another story, speaking of the VA, one of the guys who was in the final running to be the director of the VA was Pete Hegseth, and he is a Fox News guy. He's on Fox and Friends, I think, a lot. He's on Fox and Friends. Let's listen to a clip that he said about his cleanliness. Here we go.
As I told you, my 2019 resolution is to say things on air that I say off air. I don't think I've washed my hands for 10 years. Really, I don't really wash my
Someone
hands.
Help
ever.
Me!
No, I inoculate myself. It's not germs are not a real thing. I can't see them, therefore they're not real.
So you're becoming immune to all of the
exactly.
Bacteria.
I can't get sick.
Just fire from the hip on Fox and Friends saying that germs are not a real thing. I can't see them, therefore they're not real. That is an old KFC radio type of quote. That's
right.
A good quote. I don't hate the quote at all, and it makes me think that gives me more respect for him as a military person. Because that's a military way of thinking. If I can't,
right.
See, threat does not exist.
They also had on that Robertson guy from that duck hunting show.
I remember
that. And he was like, you don't read health insurance. Okay. In the end, God is the ultimate doctor. So health insurance, not necessary.
Even the host on Fox News was like, that's not going to help strep throat guy.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But what a ridiculous comment by him, too, because, you know, Pete, I'm sure you take a shower every day.
Don't shit on this comment.
I'm not, it's almost a little overblown, because to say that one does not wash their hands, your hands get washed just by default by taking a shower every day.
No. I heard that Pete Hegseth puts his hands in little Ziploc baggies when he goes in the shower.
I wonder if
hands will not touch germs. No,
maybe
soap.
He needs to come on the pod because I'll never wash my hands. Maybe
I need some clarification. Guy.
He was an officer, right? Yes, he was. Yeah, well, that makes sense then.
Probably never got his hands dirty anyway.
What are you saying? We don't wash our hands? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. You don't have to wash them if they never get dirty.
That's also true.
I also want to be on the record. I agree with a lot of the cleanliness talk that you don't have to wash your hands if you pee, if you're a male, unless you get piss on them.
That is gross because your dingle dangles down where your poop comes out sometimes.
Chaps. Well, I could not agree more with that.
What a waste of time.
It's so stupid. I don't wash my hands every time I touch my forearm.
Right.
It's the same skin.
Yeah, you don't have urine. And my skin urine is protected and feces and fart air aren't on your forearm.
Huh. You have weak fart air if it's not getting to your forearm.
Well, then it's on there.
I think that hand washing is overblown. Not washing your hands for 10 years, because we've all had a rogue wipe every now and then where you look down on your finger. Your fingernail looks like you're a goth singer that just works at nothing but Hot Topic for the last couple of months. Just going through a phase. Washing your hands and wearing JNCOs, it's what you do.
What a very detailed description and visual. Thank you for that. And in that case, let us go on the record and say we do advocate for washing your hands in those scenarios.
What's wrong, Kate?
You know, I'm just looking at the next topic.
Where is the transition?
All right.
Let's move on. Chaps, you make the leap here in a way that makes sense. Go.
All right. If you've ever been, nope, I can't do it. Let's just start clean. We'll do a little, Brent, play a little of that fucking music that you play with.
We need a palate cleanser.
Last week I mentioned the 173rd Airborne Brigade officer, and we have another story coming out of there today. An officer will be awarded the nation's second highest award for valor posthumously for his bravery during a March 27, 2007 enemy attack in Afghanistan. On March 1st, Major Thomas Gordon Bostick will receive the Distinguished Service Cross, an upgrade from the posthumous Silver Star he was awarded for sacrificing his life to protect his soldiers from 1st Squadron, 91st Cavalry Regiment during a vicious enemy ambush in the mountains of Afghanistan. Bostick, who was then a captain, commanded the Bulldog Troop when his unit came under heavy enemy fire during Operation Gwar. Major Bostick, while in command of Bravo Troop, 1st Squadron, 91st Cavalry, Airborne, and without regard for his own personal safety, placed himself in front of an overwhelming enemy force to provide covering fire to enable the paratroopers in his command post to displace more defensible terrain. He willingly sacrificed his life so they could live. Major Bostick positioned himself directly between these soldiers and the enemy, shielding them from the rounds while firing his personal weapon to cover their move. During this action, his position was engaged with overwhelming small arms and rocket-propelled grenade fire that took his life. So, ultimately, the guy just said, don't worry, I'm going to put myself in front of this enemy to protect all of my men. And we talk all the time about leading from the front, and I can't imagine an any more heroic way to lead from the front than to do what Major Bostick did.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times when we deal with posthumous words, our like wording of things, it's so disheartening because you know that receiving that medal like would have meant so much. But whenever there, his men and his women who are standing there watching him go through what he did, that's an award for them because it's like you have there's a guy that I worked with, Captain Rose was his name, and the day that I walked up on it was like a dump truck with 855 gallon drums full of explosives on the side. The only man that was there with me was Captain Rose. He was the only one that was behind me. He was like 25 meters behind me. And whenever I received an award, it was like, I got an award for it. And then he got an award for it and they bumped his up because he was the commanding officer. Whenever I found out that he got a Silver Star from the actions that we had that day, it like validated our entire experience to me. Because like having a NAM with a V as a corporal in the Marine Corps was a big deal, but being around somebody who had a Silver Star was incredible. And like to be a part of that mission where he got it, it was like, you don't get Silver Stars for doing nobody's bullshit. Same thing with these guys. They know that that what they went through that day is validated by the type of award that's given out too. That's why I think it's a travesty that the military doesn't give that doesn't recognize the awards that I think that they should.
Well, yeah, interesting you should say that. He will become the 16th soldier and only the 3rd Army officer to earn the Distinguished Service Cross for actions during Operation Enduring Freedom. So that's your point right there, is that there were probably more people who are deserving of such a high award that it just hasn't happened yet. So hopefully maybe, you know, more people as they look back on certain enemy engagements, and they will bump up some of these awards that people have been awarded, especially posthumously. And
most importantly in this case, Major Bostick is getting the recognition that he so deserves. Basically, he really did sacrifice his life to give his team more time to get out of there and get to safety. And he probably maybe wasn't thinking, you know, in the speed of action, but he knew probably as he was taking these steps exactly what he was doing and probably pretty aware of what the consequences could be and made the ultimate sacrifice for his team. So definitely, you know, thinking of Major Bostick and his friends and family and everybody who was there when that happened. And it'll probably be, I mean, that happened in 2007. For them to all get together now for that ceremony will probably be an extremely moving thing.
Yeah. And when he was talking to, like, talking about his family, that must mean so much to them. And you're absolutely right that you would realize that the people that we've had on the show that have been in that position, like Kyle Carpenter and like Florent Groberg, they talk about very, very much knowing like what they were doing at the time and that they were probably going to die. So fucking nuts of steel. Round number four, Ed Westwick, the actor who played the skeezy rich NYC party boy Chuck Bass on the series Gossip Girl. I knew that dude.
Is it Chuck Bass or Chuck Bass?
I think it's Chuck Bass, right? I don't know.
It's Chuck Bass. You guys are clearly not cool enough to watch Gossip Girl.
Which is surprising.
The basic story of what happened, this dude is like, he went from being an actor to now he's playing a Marine major in a TV show. And he just tweets out, "Meet Major Kaminsky, new film, Enemy Lines." And it looks like it's going to be just an ultimate fest of douchebaggery.
Oh, yeah. Well, so especially because like he's known kind of as a douchebag off screen as well. He played a douchebag. He's one of those, what, you ever see an actor play a role and then whatever they do from then on out, you can only see them in that one role?
That's like Jim from The Office.
Yes. Yes. So now when he does these serious films, you're like, eh. Ed Westwick, he was such a skeez ball in Gossip Girl, and he's kind of that, like, seeing him in this uniform even made me shudder a little. But the film, Enemy Lines, is going to be a World War II drama based off a true story from occupied Poland, where an elite team of Allied soldiers are sent to extract a rocket scientist from the hands of the Nazis. Mm. And I guess Ed Westwick is somehow in this as Major Kaminsky. But yeah, the photo, you can even tell in the photo he's wearing... I mean, what would you call that, Chaps?
Service A hybrids. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
He's wearing the Service Alpha top with, like, khaki pants. I'm not sure. I don't think that was ever a uniform. I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, so I was confused because at first glance...
I don't ever remember that being a uniform.
At first glance, I thought, oh, it's World War II. He must have been in the Army. And then I saw the Eagle go in anchors. But yeah, you're right. Like,
which are twisted, like we talked about last week.
Yes.
Inverted, where they're going outboard instead of inboard. But his hair is electric, by the way.
His hair reminds me of Brad Pitt from the movie Fury. There's like super just basically shaved on the sides and long on the top.
We haven't ever talked about Fury. How do you feel about it?
I thought it was good.
I thought it was bad. Let's move on.
We've talked about it. But anyway, this was another one of those cases like we talked about with the officer at the State of the Union address last week whose uniform was a little jacked up because of his twisted ribbons. In this case, people were also triggered. Someone said, "There is so much wrong with this major," as he put it in quotes, "uniform that I legit can't get it into 280 characters on Twitter." Like, people are butthurt. But also, you can tell Ed Westwick like feels like he looks fuck in uniform.
He looks like he feels like one of those Ralph Lauren models that's wearing military type stuff. I'm like, oh man, I'd fuck me. You probably would too if you got getroman.com/0.
Just a lot of a lot of problems with his uniforms. And you know what though? This speaks to how often we say, just get somebody on set who has been even in the military for a little bit and they would notice so many of these things, and you just lend so much more legitimacy to your production if you have your uniform squared away, because it's such an easy thing. One other point, you guys might be surprised to know, I never watched Gossip Girl.
I can't believe you never watched Gossip Girl.
I know. I was an OC guy.
You're so proud of yourself. You didn't watch Gossip Girl just so you could say I didn't watch Gossip Girl.
I actually had to look up who this actor was. I actually had no idea who he was.
I had no idea who he was either. All right. This is something that I've never said on Zero Block 30.
You've been doing this a lot lately, and I love it.
I know. It's a new thing.
We're almost 3 years into a relationship here, and you keep breaking out surprises. You're keeping it fresh, and that's why we're thriving.
It's Valentine's week. He's learning more about him all the time.
It is. And this is why I've never said this on Zero Block 30 before. I've said it many times before. Let's hear some Aaron Neville. What?
Don't make it weird. I'll do it because
I got at least a bit.
It has to be heartfelt.
I'll do it heartfelt.
You're doing your boner pill ad voice.
I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Damn it. I'm all red in the face.
Catherine's all hot and bothered.
Oh my God.
Oh man. Bren, make sure you put this at the end.
He's on
I'm
your
keeping
arm
it all chat. In the middle.
All right.
People are going to suffer through this awkward transition like we had to.
That's okay. Oh here my we go. God.
Anyway, this is from the book Hero of the Pacific, John Bassel's actual words.
And on a serious note, I will add one serious thing. Whenever I first met my wife's great uncle, he served with John Bassalone on Iwo Jima. And whenever I first met him, him and his buddy Roy, they asked me to take them to the Marine Corps Museum. And whenever I did, I was wearing Charlie's. I was wearing the short-sleeved service uniform. And I had the tattoo of John Bassalone on my arm at the time. And Jack grabbed me by the arm and he said, "Who is that?" And he was like looking me directly in the face. And he was like, "Is that Johnny Bass?" He's like, "That was my platoon sergeant, Iwo Jima."
Wow.
And he like started to get teary eyed. And then Roy, the guy that was with him, they were both on Iwo Jima together in the same fighting position. Roy was in his 80s at the time. And whenever he would speak to me, I was a sergeant. He got out as a Lance Corporal. He was in his 80s, fought in the Battle of Iwo Jima, and only spoke to me the entire time we were together at the position of parade rest.
Wow. Yeah, it's such a deep bond. And it's so, I just want to read. So the love of her life, he deploys a month after they get married. On her birthday, this is what she gets, a telegram. "Deeply regret to inform you that your husband, Gunnery Sergeant John Bassalone, USMC, was killed in action February 19th, 1945 at Iwo Jima, Volcano Islands, in the performance of his duty and service to his country. Please accept my heartfelt sympathy." And that telegram was sent by General Alexander Vandegrift, who huge in the Marine Corps world. And it was he who had also been John's commanding officer at Guadalcanal, where he got his Medal of Honor. So he also presented John with that when he was in Australia. So when an American serviceman died back then as a result of war injuries, the government gave $10,000 life insurance check. And because she was married to him, she got it. And she gave every single penny to his family. She didn't keep a single dime. After he died, Lena never remarried. She lived for 54 more years. And when she died in 1999, she was still wearing the wedding ring that her Johnny gave her. And her final resting place, even then, they offered her a space next to him at Arlington, and she said no, that was his spot. And so she's at Riverside National Cemetery in California. So the whole thing, I'm not going to lie, I like teared up pretty heavy when I was reading this the other day.
Yeah, the whole story is beautiful, and it's strange. Like, I know that probably whenever you're hearing when Kate introduced it, she was like, "I learned about this love story at boot camp." It's because, one, I think it shows the strong level of respect that she had for him too. Like, you have to, like, if you serve, you know what getting the Medal of Honor, what receiving the Medal of Honor means. And looking back at that story and how much, can you imagine if she did try to remarry somebody and you are the next husband? Fuck out of here.
Good luck living up to that.
Good point.
You're not going to measure up.
You're too tired to take the trash out.
There's a photo of her christening a ship that was named after him. And she has this stoic look on her face, and to have to carry on after he passed. And she probably had to go to tons of events like that. So many things were named in his honor. There were so many different things. And that she always, they said, carried herself with just this dignity and grace that is so hard to do when your heart is in a million pieces. And I just always really loved her.
I mean, two probable reasons for that. Number one, she was a Marine herself, so she held herself to that standard. And number two, she probably felt the best way to honor her husband was to go to these events and continue on his legacy in such a proud manner. So she wasn't going to let him down. And I must say, I'm always touched when you hear these stories of folks who lose their significant other, their spouse, and then never remarry. And that's not to say that, you know, people who remarry after a loved one dies or there's something wrong with them.
Talk yourself out of this one, Con. You heard it here first. Con thinks you're a bad person if you remarry after.
No, but I'm just like, more so to the people who don't remarry, just to know that level of love that you just can't seem to bring yourself to marry anybody else. I think.
Well, the seminarian in me wants to remind everybody that's what the Apostle Paul would have wanted. But one last note about Johnny Bassalone. Everybody talks about Hirooki as rightfully so. Everybody talks about how much he loved his wife rightfully so. That motherfucker, hot as shit too.
He was. They were both
smoke bro of the day.
Both very, very, very good looking. Yeah. And that's what's important.
Yeah. All
right. That's what gets you places in life.
Yeah.
Any save rounds or alibis. Obviously, a huge save round is if we're going to Daytona this week. If you haven't got your tickets, there's very few left. I can't stress this enough. If you're thinking about it, shit or get off the pot. You can get all those tickets at Daytona500.com/barstool. There's going to be a little drop down. Go to the barstool section, click that. $155 to hang out with us, me, Cons, Kate, Bren, Dave Cordner. If you're into that kind of thing, he'll be there too.
Caleb, $20 chef, yeah, all sorts of folks.
But mainly ZBT.
The most important thing, you get the VIP tailgate with all the food and drink and all that stuff. And regular tickets are only like $10 less. So why wouldn't you wanna?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, I'm really, I like to be prepared. I like to plan ahead. And right now, the biggest challenge that I'm facing is I don't know what to pack. I don't know what to wear. I know you guys are all shaking your heads and you don't.
Are we going to be at the beach at all?
I got nothing either. We're in the same boat.
Yeah,
if we're going to be at the beach, I got to make an appointment over at European Wax Center, friends. Let's get real.
This event
I think
Saturday.
We all do. My butthole is out of control.
Hey, come see our pubes at the Daytona 500.
Yeah. The event Saturday has me in a tizzy. I don't know what to wear to that thing.
Final side note, it is Valentine's week. And I just want to say that I love everyone who follows Zero Block 30 and listens to the show and reaches out and does all that stuff. Because I love you guys.
Small agree, but I don't want to fuck anybody that listens.
Speak for yourself. No, I'm just kidding. Please.
Please. Kate's DMs are open.
Yeah.
Gons, any save rounds?
No, that was my one that I'm at a loss for what to wear this weekend.
There we go. All right. Sound the retreat.